Welcome to Call with Dads. Let's talk.
You should be live, so everyone should be able to hear us in our full rant. And let's see if we can get through this with our mental health and stop and check, since that is the topic that we're discussing.
Mental health hasn't been intact since April 2009.
That's funny.
That's when I listed.
I was going to say, for me, it's, I don't know, I've lost track with all the stupid and crazy stuff I've done in my life, but it's, people question if I've been sane most of the time anyhow.
Yeah.
But it's funny to think about, like, for this topic, I actually looked into some of the stuff that they say men deal with mental health and all this, mm-hmm. and everyone expects, like, if you're depressed or if you're going through some kind of thing, and it's more fathers is this way than just men in general, but fathers, from what it says, fathers will have a tendency not to go to the corner and cry. They don't just go in, boo-hoo-hoo, my life is hard, oh, woo-hoo, whatever, right? As dads, something in our brains tell us we have to be strong enough to take care of the family, shut up, move forward. So one of the big things that I read said that, as a general thing, fathers will either dive more into work, become workaholics, they'll be withdrawn because they don't want to push the stress and all these negative emotions and whatsoever you on their family. And then they run through their mind about how much how much better their family is without them there, so they work more not to burden their families.
Yeah.
And I mean, let's start off with that, about what your guys' thoughts there.
Well, yeah, let's go through some statistical realities. You know what I mean? Let's go start off from the beginning. You know, suicide's what? 80% men. You know what I mean? But what are the reasons why? You know, let's look at history. You know what I mean? You know, men are meant to do this, women are meant to do this. Now we look at today. What are men doing? The same exact thing that they're required to and expected to do. What are women doing? About half as much, and a lot of them are trying to do what men are doing. So what's happening is women are essentially, not to their fault or anything, but they're brainwashed into thinking feminism is good. Be like a man. Do what a man is doing. So a lot of times men are, you know, not only are they emotionally and sexually turned off, but now they're getting their roles and things replaced by women who think they're better than men. But then they're getting women that go out of their way to make all the decisions and do all the stuff that men do, but hold none of the responsibility, right? So in my house, my wife respects that of me, right? But she knows, because I hold all the responsibility. If there's anything wrong or anything happens and I lose my job, I go to jail, I die, the whole house crashes, right? There's no more money, there's no more house, there's no more to pay the bills. You know, she does a lot of stuff like pay the bills, but where does the money come from that pays the bills? Now, she can go get a job. She has a degree and lots of experience and stuff, but in the current moment, in the current position, that is me. You know what I mean? Not to mention, because of, you know, having a child and being a mother, she's been kind of out of work for many years. So she would have to essentially start over. So, and you know, this is a life that she chose. We didn't choose to be a man with a career and a woman with a career. We chose to be a family. I do the career and the job and the work and this stuff. She does the household and the family and pays bills and the food, right? So that kind of household has kind of merged together for us. But that isn't becoming the norm today. Today, a lot of men and women are crashing because they both want to have the career ladder. They both want to do the man's role or the primary, you know, household leader role. And instead of being two people working together to have a household. So I can see that as causing a lot of mental health issues in men, you know. Plus, there are things like food. You know, our food has destroyed people's health. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's the statistics on men's testosterone. You know, so testosterone, we've discussed it before, testosterone started being recorded in the 70s, right? And the average testosterone level for like a 40-year-old man was in the 700s. And today, you know, they go, oh, it's totally average if you're at 300. Oh, because it's within limits. Well, the average limit has done like that. So now they've changed the marker where the average is. When in reality, your testosterone as a 40-year-old man should be in the 700 to 800s. But they don't tell you that. They tell you, oh, it's okay for your testosterone to dip as you age. And when you're 40, at 300's fine. No, it's not at all. You know what I mean? Now your mental health is going crazy. You know, so there's a bunch of factors, you know, in this that play into this. You know, not to mention men do, you know, majority of the hard jobs, you know. Majority of police, majority of fire, majority of iron workers, majority of oil workers, majority of construction. These are all very difficult jobs. And when you work these jobs and get beat up all day long, stress mm-hmm. all day long, and you come home to a wife that's like, in the moment you're like, well, I just kind of want to have sex and hang out. I love my wife. I worked all day. Hmm. I would like a, I worked all day for you. I would like a hot meal and a little bit of love and care. That's it. That's all I want. So, yeah, that can take a major toll on a man. Not to harp on women or anything. I'm not harping on women. I'm not putting women down or anything. I'm just saying this is a more common feature of what's going on today. So,
right.
Yeah, I think in general, I mean, I think it's always been more acceptable for women to have mental health issues, or at least to be more mm-hmm. open about it. Like, right. Women can be like, there's something wrong with me. I'm going to talk to my friends. Where mm-hmm. I feel like in men, like, I think most of our mental health issues come from our sense of identity. I mean, as a right. kid growing up, I kind of didn't really have a lot of confidence. And then, like, mm-hmm. becoming a single dad, like,
yeah.
I was my son was my ex's second child. So I had a lot of, I was insecure about, like, my parenting style. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really find out that my strengths as a parent until I became a single dad. But yeah. I think the biggest thing
that's another big factor is single family homes mm-hmm. and, you know, fatherless mm-hmm. children and divorce rates. That's another one that hits.
Well, majority, single dads,
I think it's what, 80% of all divorces are initiated by women.
Right. Yeah. Nowadays.
I mean, that takes a huge toll on men.
Yeah. And I think it's, I think the most important part of it is being able to be self-aware. Yeah. Cause I think once you become self-aware that there is an issue, mm-hmm. then you can start addressing it. I feel like a lot of men that have mental health issues, they refuse to voice it because of what past yeah. society said. So, like, mm-hmm. like, at least if I can say there's something wrong with me, I can begin to address it and, like, maybe go talk to a therapist, maybe talk to my doctor, maybe talk to yeah. a pastor. But, like, for those who aren't willing to do that, they hold all that stress, all that anxiety, and they internalize it, and then usually it comes mm-hmm. out as, like, anger or this. And I feel like a lot of those men will just disconnect. Yeah. And that's when you see, like, the men that aren't, like, doing what they're supposed to. But I think, like, in the last maybe 10 years, I mean, like, even in the military, like, it's finally been acceptable to admit that, like, even PTSD mm-hmm. is finally being accepted as something that's reality. I mean, like,
yeah,
when they used to call it shell shock, and, like, you know, men yeah. come home from war, and then, like, they would consider them weak for having mental health issues. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen the movie Thank You for Your Service, where they basically, like, talk about him coming home and having all these issues, and his leadership is like, well, you need to be an example for them. You can't show weakness. Yeah. And I think now it's like you start to see the men that we perceive to be stronger in society, and we see them being able to show vulnerability. Mm-hmm. I think it's why it's important we're having this conversation, because I think that, like, people look at us and they always think that, like, that man, he's doing the right thing. He has all the right things, but they don't understand what's going on behind closed doors. So I think, like, this gives a good avenue for men to kind of, like, reflect on themselves and be like, maybe there are certain parts of me I need to fix and need to change, and maybe I mm-hmm. need to start addressing those head on.
Yeah.
Let me ask this.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Hold on. So let's look at, so Aaron, you're I'm assuming much younger than me. I'm 47 years old. I'm not sure how old you are. Or, no, sorry, I'm 46 years
old. I turned 40 in October.
Okay, so you're almost 40. So you're not that much younger. So no. You just have less gray than I do.
Oh, it's there. But, just I get it faded out.
And part of it is I know, me growing up, I was in where I grew up out in the middle of the sticks of Ohio, where there's more tractors than people most times. You know what I mean? So where for me, I grew up and I kind of had this mentality of I have to be strong enough to deal with my family. I don't talk about my problems. I shut up. If I need to deal with them, I sit and think about them, or I have a couple drinks with somebody and make comments and jokes and what so have you. You know what I mean? Not really. Like I don't do the therapist. You tend to have more of the more openness to emotional intelligence, I think is the phrase or something, or more open to your feelings and things like that. So
I mean, it definitely didn't happen overnight though. That's the thing though. And that's what I'm trying to want people to know.
So here's what I guess where the big thing comes in is, like, I'm still in that mindset of I don't talk about my problems. I might like Pancakes, I might make a comment to him, or I kind of say some things, but generally it's shut up, I'll get through it. And most men, especially in the middle of America, in the sticks, all this, where they're taught men are men, you either are strong enough to deal with your problems or you throw that dress on just like Sally. You know what I mean? So it's, and the reason I thought of Sally, I have a cat, Sally. So, but but the fact
I can give you my opinion on that stuff. I mean, my opinion may be a little bit harsh on this kind of topic, which is fine. I mean, and people can be mad at me for it if they want to or whatever. It is what it is. But I do believe, like you said, Aaron, I do believe it's good to talk about it. But amongst us, because we, in a way, we are the people that some people go to look for information. You know what I mean? We've had this show for couple of years now.
We've been discussing
quite a bit. You know, we aren't, and we've openly accepted and told everybody we aren't experts. We just are conversationalists, nothing more. People can come to us to discuss this, discuss information, get ideas, and go from there. So this is the good avenue for us to talk about it, so other people can get ideas. But I don't believe that men should be going out of their way to express their feelings everywhere. I don't believe so. I think men need to shut the F up, grow the F up, grab your freaking balls, act like a man. If you have stress and you have problems, no, you don't need to go to a freaking therapist. They're going to charge you up the butt and keep you there as long as possible. You know, they're also maybe going to prescribe you with some medication, because why? Gives them a little bit more cheese. So what I think men need to do is find themselves a solid workout plan. Get some good friends, you know, get some new hobbies, do some things there. And maybe having that one trustworthy friend to discuss with and talk to, that's a good thing to have. Yes, absolutely. Being open with like me and Eric, if there are issues, we've known each other for quite a few years now. It's not really that much that's off the table at this point. You know what I mean?
So, I heard that earlier.
Right. Yeah. Right. So having that one person or that one solid friend to go to for those things, that's okay. That's a good thing. I absolutely think that you should have, you know, fellowship amongst men. But I don't believe you should be going to therapists or group therapy sessions or finding yourself in medication or expressing your feelings, especially to your woman. You should definitely not be expressing your feelings openly to your wife.
Yeah. I'll say what I learned from my first relationship is that, like, I had a lot of traumas as a kid, and I found that a lot of times when I would start getting relationships, I'd get overly comfortable and I would share things, and then
boom, gone, done, sick. Yeah.
They would use my traumas against me as like a weapon, saying, like, you must be weak.
Right.
I guess my only pushback for the therapy stuff, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. I think that when, especially for me, when I start going into therapy, I guess I'll just be upfront and honest. Like,
yeah, dude.
A couple years ago, I almost, I almost killed myself.
Yeah,
I was coming home from a drill weekend, and my ex was leaving me, and like I didn't know what mm-hmm. my future was gonna hold, and like I think that loss of identity of what I thought was mm-hmm. gonna be a nuclear family took over. And then I talk about my one video where basically I told my mm-hmm. commander that I was thinking about hurting myself, and they got me help, and I went up to active duty installation.
So there is a difference between being on the edge of you know of life and death, and the being this is it, I'm done, I'm so brain dead, you know what I mean? There's a difference between that and having normal, you know, stress, anxiety, crying about it, my wife hates me, you know, stuff like that. You know, there's two different worlds. You know, the I will say there's a lot more people that are right on the edge, and I do believe that it's good that we are open a little bit more today than we used to be, because I mean, let's be honest, there are a lot more people that are on the edge of committing suicide and things like that. So in that instance, yes, that is where a therapist or a medical professional or something should come into play. Absolutely, 100%, right? But let's be honest, why is it that today more men than ever before are right on that edge, right? Why is that? Well, I truly believe it's because of several different factors. One of them being men's testosterone is basically tanked. You know what I mean? Men have to deal with all of the same things, maybe even more than they've dealt with all of these years. And then instead of getting praise and appreciation and love for it, they're getting hated on and told their masculinity is toxic, right? So I believe there's a lot more things, a lot more men today that are on that edge than ever before.
Yeah,
so
I think
it's good that we're opening up.
I think you brought up a really interesting point with that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in the past, like you look back 50 years ago, if there was problems in the home, nobody knew about it. Like that was behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Now it's like if something goes wrong in the relationship, women are so quick to go online.
Yeah, it's everybody. Social media, Facebook. Yep.
Yeah.
And so that's a huge problem.
That demasculation is like really fast. And like honestly, once that starts getting out, like that can take a severe toll on you. Mm-hmm. But again, like with therapy and stuff like that, when I went into it, like I made the clear comment. I was like, I don't want medication, because I tried it before and like it changed me. I'm like, I don't want that.
Yeah.
Like,
screws you up.
But the one part I did like about it was that like sometimes when you go and confide in your friends, I feel like sometimes your friends will give you what they think you want to hear. And
sometimes,
honestly, sometimes having that objective, like I'm not backing you up. I'm not backing that person up. And sometimes just saying your shit out loud is like,
yeah,
I'm like, I actually hear myself say, I'm like, wow, this sounds insane.
I sound like an idiot. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like I completely understand where you're coming from. And
yeah,
I think prior to it, before, like I probably perceived it that way too.
Yeah,
I would just say from getting a lot of help from it, like I went to the VA, so luckily I didn't have to pay for all that stuff out of pocket. Right. They gave me like 20 free sessions or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean,
like I said, a lot of people, you know, harp on people like Andrew Tate, and they're like, oh, he's such a womanizer and stuff. And, you know, I hate to say it, you know, I hate to say it, but Andrew Tate is bred from the anti-masculine movement, from this overly feminism, you know, and then push for men to be weak and all this stuff. And that's where people like Andrew Tate came from. You know, I don't agree with everything he says. You know, but I mean, I'm a Trump supporter and I don't agree with everything Trump says. So it is what it is. You know, you're not going to agree with everything everyone always says all the time. But there are things that Andrew Tate says that I do agree with. And you know what that is? I think men need to, you know, sorry to say it, but sack the fuck up in a lot of things. Yeah,
so I see that out sometimes too. But like, again, the problem with like media, as far as like even social media, is that like I can sit here and say whatever I want for you to think that this is the way I think, but behind this facade, like you don't know the stuff that I'm going through behind. Like I'm a little more vocal because my goal is to help other men like take those deficiencies and turn them into strengths. Especially being like a, I think being a father and a parent kind of makes you view things a lot different than you would outside of it. And especially since like I'm trying to raise a man, like I see all my weaknesses and I want to like, obviously I don't want him to know all my deficiencies, but like I would like the things that I fixed in myself to kind of like make sure he doesn't deal with those things. But yeah, like I completely agree with that. Like, but like sometimes I want people to think like, don't just listen to their words. Think that there's still a man behind that person that even though they're saying, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. Sometimes the people saying those are the biggest hypocrites when they're like secretly trying to put out a facade. So
I just feel there's like a majority of men's mental health issues can be solved through more simple tactics rather than hitting social media and whining about it or hitting a therapist for almost every single thing. Like you're got a little depression. You know what solves depression? Eating better and getting physically fit. Those are, it's literally written in almost every book. You know what I mean? Health books, even history books. It's oddly even written in the Bible. You know, it's everywhere.
Right.
You know, for men, because how we are biologically designed, one of the best things for men's mental health is eating better and getting physically fit. That's
now,
it. Literally. Obviously, it's not going to solve all stuff, but it'll help, I think.
Let me throw this in as well, because there's a couple things that you both have said that kind of has my mind thinking about different things I've read. One of the other big things that is going on is the social media. So like you both have mentioned about social media. Now, here's the big problem is what's happening, especially with the younger generation. Social media is a big part of their lives. So they post. They get a lot of their endorphins from the likes, the comments, the
instant feedback.
Instant feedback. So a lot
of cortisol.
Yeah, it's endorphins or cortisol or I don't know. Well,
the cortisol is the stress. The stress part of it.
So endorphins. That's the big thing. There is the endorphins.
Dopamine. That's it. Dopamine.
It took us a while, and I was way off, but we got there. But
we got there.
It
took a minute.
The big thing that I believe that's happening is society is giving, and I don't know if it's bots that people program to encourage the sissy man, the soy boy kind of behavior. But what's happening is they're seeing other people act a certain way. Mm-hmm. Like, remember when we first started, we had a general parenting guy on, and he was obviously didn't know what he was talking about. I mean, at the time he had like a 2-year-old and a baby, and he thought he could instruct people on general parenting for teenagers. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things.
It seems what happens when they're 10.
So, but a lot of what he was doing was trying to get clicks on social media, trying to get attention and all these things. And a big part of why he was trying to make it seem like spanking in any negative discipline was bad because he had his tablet taken away from him for a month when he was a kid, and how horrible his parents were about this.
And, it was.
Yeah. And so what it is you have people that are getting like feedback, and the people that are sitting there going, oh, well, I want to feel good. Like it's not my fault. Mm-hmm. Like my son, he's always like, oh, I'm sorry. I did this. I'm like, you're sorry you got caught. Let's be realistic here.
Yeah.
If I didn't say something for your actions, you wouldn't be sorry for it. Mm. So what it comes down to is that, at least how I'm seeing it, is people's not really wanting to take responsibility for their bad sides. They want to be, they want people on social media to tell them, oh, it's not you, it's them. Like, look at the women that break up with a guy because he's too good, right?
Yeah.
So if a guy is too good, that's BS, because here's the fact is, if a guy is too good, then you're not going to leave him. you just want the adventures. But what they don't realize is this mentality that women are being fed, this feminist, like this modern feminism, hate mm-hmm. men, men are the blah, blah, blah. You can do it all on your own. Like even my wife told my kid, we joke around, she goes, do you want to see mommy beat up daddy? I'm like, honey, have you been watching too many of those women movies again?
Watching too many feminism movies?
Yeah. And so it comes down to is society with social media is making people think a certain way, yeah. do a certain thing.
It's
and
definitely
we're not,
causing issues.
Yes, and but we're not, yes, get, I'm not going to say don't get therapy. I'm not a big therapy person. But if you're at a point where you, I guess I see two scenarios that therapy is useful.
Right.
One, if you don't have somebody to talk to. Like before Pancakes and I became friends, I would talk to my neighbor occasionally, but like wintertime, we rarely ever get together, you know, because mm-hmm. when we get together, we start a campfire, we sit in the backyards, we open like three or four bottles of my homemade wine and wonder how did we drink so many?
Yeah.
I mean, but we talk when we do that. But generally, if you don't have somebody to talk to, if you don't mm-hmm. have that friend network, because friend networks seem to be getting harder and harder to develop, you know,
yeah.
like I'm becoming friendly with a guy that my co-op just by happenstance, you know,
and I actually contribute that to a
social
lot
media
of
too.
Social media stuff. Yeah. It's yeah. actually, it's actually become a statistic nowadays. Friend groups are, especially men friend groups, are almost non-existent these days. They're very few and far between nowadays, where before it used to be like all over the place, like everyone was friends, you know what I mean?
So I'll say this, like the friendship part of it is like, I think sometimes when you're going through things, I think for like the end of my relationship and going through family court, like that was like
more difficult.
That was a two and a half 3 year ordeal, and honestly in those times it's hard because you're around your friends, and especially like a lot of my friends have young families and stuff like that. And it's like, you feel secluded because you're now like the fifth wheel or the sixth wheel or the seventh wheel. And yeah. like, you're tired of constantly putting your issues on other people. And that's the problem that I came to, is like that I became secluded because I didn't want to keep burdening my friends with these issues. And then I was away from my friends for a long time. I guess I'll be the pro therapy advocate in this group. So
yeah, no,
I was just saying, from what I got out of it was, so when I was going through those experiences, especially when I didn't know if I was going to lose my son, like I would get panic attacks. I would like, I was waiting tables at the time, and sometimes there would just be people that would come in, and like I would see a young family or I'd see a little kid and I would miss my son, and I would start getting like panic attacks, and they would like legit, like I couldn't breathe, like mm-hmm. And the things I got from therapy was that I got some tools and stuff to, like, when I realized I was going down that path, they gave me, like, tools that I could use in those moments that I could mm-hmm. ground myself. So, like, there was, like, breathing techniques they gave me. Or they gave me, like, when you're feeling panicked, focus on something that's outside. Like, what color is that car over there? What sounds am I hearing? What's, like, and stuff like that helped a lot because it gave me, in the moments where I was going through a struggle, to like feel, have like ways of distracting myself. But again, like there's always some people overuse it, and some people like, I think some people, like there's a great show on Apple TV, since we're on iTunes or
we're Shrinking
with Harrison Ford. And basically like, I don't know where I'm going with this.
Welcome to the random rants.
I lost myself. But like getting those grounding things is what's necessary. But I feel like you can get too much into it, like where I need to go to therapy 5 days a week. Whereas like somebody like me, like I can still be do my normal stuff, go to work, go to the gym, be a good dad. But going to a therapist maybe once every couple weeks can give me some skills and grounding that I can use. Because again, like being able to talk to somebody, like I feel like innately our friends, they instantly want us to feel better. So sometimes they'll tell us stuff that like can be more harmful to us by like, yeah, just keep doing this. But behind, as soon as they walk out, they're like, man, he's effed up. So like, I think that's the one nice part about the objectivist. But like, again, there's like, there's levels. Like,
yeah,
you're so weak that you're not doing anything to be adding to society or your family. Like, that's when there's a major issue with therapy. But if you're using it as like, I'm doing all the things I need to do, I'm being a good example, I'm being a good citizen, I'm making society better, I'm taking care of what I need to, and I'm just talking to this person and they're giving me tools to prevent me from having panic attacks. Like, that's like, that's where I could say it could be a beneficial thing. And I think it's interesting with the three of us. Like, I think based on where we're from, like you said, like being raised where there's more cows than people, or I think the where we live as far as like how we grow up and how society looks at us differently. Like, I think maybe there's more people around me that are willing to accept that people are different. Whereas like, where there's not many people, like there's one standard for, And I think like as strong men though, like we can be a good example of what other men should strive to be. And that's why I think it's important that we're talking about this.
Yeah.
And I think it's good that we have different,
different views on it. And don't think I don't want everybody to think I'm anti-therapy. You know, I'm not totally against it. You know what I mean? I'm not anti-therapist. I'm not like, oh, never. You know what I mean? I just don't believe that men should. I think it's the duty of the man to be the foundation and be the leader of not only their family but society. If men are consistently crashing out and going to therapy all the time, I mean, no wonder women are pushing us aside. You know what I mean? No wonder women are demasculinating us, you know, because we're always like, you know, crying about it and going to therapy all the time. So like I said, I'm not anti-therapy. I just don't believe therapy should be your go-to. I think, you know, if you don't have a lot of friends, you know, which happens a lot. And you made a great point. If you got a bunch of friends, but you're the one that's getting a divorce or got a divorce or now you're alone or whatever, sometimes that depression can really grab a hold of you and really make you that single odd man out and really make you that fifth wheel or third wheel or whatever the case is. That's not a good feeling. It sucks, you know. But I do feel like sometimes there are other steps you can take first before getting to that point to where you need to go to therapy. I feel like there's a lot of other things. Maybe a church, like, you know, maybe go find, you know, like how we found this, start one of these, you know, start a channel, work out a lot more, just work on yourself, maybe even read, start reading a lot more, go spend time like out in the woods and just go run. You know, there's a lot of initial things you can try initially first to try and wane down your depression. You know, go join like a racquetball thing and go just hit racquetball for a while. Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, they don't need to know that you're depressed and single. Well, you know, why do they? Go join a softball group or a softball team or, you know, something, and or even a flag football group or whatever. There are all kinds of adult male teams, sports teams and stuff to do. They don't need to know that you're going through a divorce. It's none of their business, you know, so you can go there, make friends, and maybe that will give you the spark to find that one guy that maybe is going through the same thing that you're going through, and the two of you can confide in each other, you know. So I just feel like there's other things you can do before immediately hitting, you know, not that you're doing it, but immediately hitting social media and going, or immediately going to therapy and all these other things that a lot of men are, unfortunately, men are doing these days.
So I think
that's what I'm talking about. It's like
one of my my things is obviously my faith is hugely important to me. But like there's like the one when the Pharisees are talking to Jesus and they're like, well, why don't you guys fast? And he says, well, the time to fast will be when the bride will be is gone. Like that's the time to fast. And they say like if you're that like those people are hypocrites. Like they're like when they fast, like they look all disheveled. They look, their hair is a mess, their clothes are dirty, their clothes are frumpy. And they go around and they tell people, hey, look, I'm fasting. Yeah. And Jesus says, like, when you do that, that's your reward is coming from the reaction of the people that are you're telling to. And they said, like, they say, like, when you fast, comb your hair, wash your face, wear clean clothes, look good because what you're doing is, it shouldn't be for anybody else to know. It's for you to be working on yourself and your relationship with God. So like, if you're to the point where you're needing this, it doesn't need to be an outward expression, because your rewards shouldn't be coming from what other people perceive you. Like, to get to the point where I am, like, I did it behind closed doors. Obviously certain family members knew, but like, I wasn't out there, be like, going to therapy today.
And like I said, seeking therapy is not necessarily a bad thing. And I'm not anti-therapy. I'm not saying never go to therapy. I think there's times and places. Like, it sounded like you had an experience where therapy did you good, and it was something important that you needed to go to. You were right on that edge. And it seems like that was a great choice. As a man, you took that initiative to become, you know, knowing you were in a place that needed this. You needed outside intervention. And that's what's important. You know what I mean? I'm essentially talking to all the men out there, or boys that are adults, that are out there like, acting like babies.
Well, I think there's certain things, like, I think that, like, there's certain levels. Like, if you go to my channel, I'm pretty open about this stuff. Like, I was in foster care as a kid. I lost my twin brother when I was 4. My mom, all my grandparents died by the time I was 21 years old. Like, I dealt with like traumas like that. And like, sometimes those kind of traumas, they can last you a lifetime. And really, instead of like addressing them, like, they get buried deep inside. And like, again, like, I was at the point where I was just suicidal. And like, but I guess if somebody's watching this video, like, if somebody's clicking on this video for mental health, I'm guessing they're probably pretty close to the point where they need to like start addressing it, and they're trying to find paths forward. And I will say, like, I was at the darkest I possibly could be, and like, I thought that the only way to end that suffering was to take my life. And honestly, if anybody's listening to this right now, I do want to say, like, things get better. Like, I'm at the point where I finally got to the point where I used to tie my happiness to everybody else. Like, I can't be happy if she doesn't love me. I can't be happy if I'm not a family. But to finally get to a point.
What's the saying? This too shall pass.
So, like, I got to the point where I'm happy being alone. And that's kind of a detriment to myself right now, because, like, I'm happy by myself, that I don't need somebody else, like a woman, to make me happy. And that sucks, because it's harder for me to find somebody. But, like, knowing I can go to bed at night and I'm happy with myself, and, like, I've worked through the issues, and, like,
Why do you think passport bros has become such a big thing these days?
Going to Thailand, getting a wife.
Because so many men are so used to being alone because of how terrible, you know, their wives or their marriage or whatever case was here in the U.S. They just got sick of it, and they're like, man, they eventually come back to them, like, it'd be really nice to have a girl, but I don't want any women here. So they go,
I feel like women want to do men's stuff all the time until it's time for men to do men's stuff. But then the men are so burned out from women putting them down that they're like, well, why should I give up and give you my seat? Why should I defend you when you constantly bash me all the time? Why should I open the door for you? Like, so, like, that's the funny part about society, is like, women want to be men as far as income, strength, doing all the jobs. And then, like, but then, like, when they want somebody to defend their honor or something like that, then like, it's like, throw out everything I said you were and be the man.
You want me to be a man, but you don't want to be a woman.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What is,
you
want
to have all the privileges of a man, but you don't want any of the responsibility. Yeah. And in the words of our missing member, Tom, I said feminism. I think feminism was initially a good thing. And Tom finished the sentence, because this is what I meant, but couldn't articulate it. Feminism was a good thing, but in a way our society overshot. It was good because it fixed a lot of things that our society had that was wrong, such as women basically being like, get in the kitchen, woman, you know, beating her and stuff like that, how we treated women many, many years ago. A lot of that stuff was wrong, but in a way we did overshoot what the definition of a woman is and how a woman should be. And I'm not saying women should get in the kitchen and be the traditional wife. All women should, you know, but I do believe that in a relationship, in a household, there is an established order, and that order is for a reason. You know what I mean? It holds the household together. Men like women to be feminine, lovely, you know, take care of them. women, whether they want to believe it or not, even today, like men to take the lead, you know, be a man, you know, hold the household together, be strong and hairy and gross. You know, women like that.
Right.
Men like soft, pretty, feminine women and to take care of them. You know, it's a natural order. And even women that are all feminist broed out, oh, I hate men. Even they like men to be leaders, strong, masculine, you know. I mean, even lesbians like, you know, men to be that way. I mean,
right.
They just go by plastic versions of it. I mean, you can't get away from it. It's there, whether they like it or not. So,
you ever watch Bill Burr?
Yeah.
Occasionally, I see his
clips. He's talking about, like, he's like walking down in New York City, or he's playing like a firefighter. He's got like the mustache, and he's like, he runs into a like a masculine lesbian, and she's like miserable. And he's like, I realize how similar we are. He's like, we both have to deal with women. That's the similarity between, like, she gets it.
Let's do this. I know that, Aaron, you have to be running. So, and I think we've touched on a lot here. And my thinking is we can obviously dig in deeper to a lot of other areas. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, what do you guys think? Like, if somebody asked you your opinion on, I think we pretty clearly defined our opinion, but if somebody says,
I think
what is your advice?
Targeting specific portions of mental health for next episodes would be great, such as suicide, or such as divorce, such as career stuff, such as anxiety stuff, specific targeting, you know what I mean? The beginnings of marriage and parenthood. You know what I mean? The beginnings, the stress and anxiety and the mental health that it causes, you know, or having one entire episode just on suicide. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's an easy one because there's so much to touch there.
Mm-hmm. So, I think this is a good broad spectrum one. I think a couple episodes on specific targeted mental health things would be helpful.
Yeah, for we the can audience. Do a series. We can
I also think like things that we experience as challenges and like certain things and activities, like I think the greatest successes come from failures, because I think failures are a great teacher in teaching us how to do things. Like, when I do something wrong, I usually learn something pretty great from that. So I think like that kind of mental health too, because like I feel like all these men feel like they have to be perfect, and like I think it's important for men to understand like it's okay to make mistakes, it's okay to like do this. It's how you react and how you, your self-awareness to correct those actions moving forward. Like I think that's a good one to talk about too for mental health, because a lot of men just continue doing the same stupid thing over and over and over again and wonder why is my life so screwed up?
Yeah.
Because you're not learning from your mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's do this. We're going to off air. We'll figure out what our next topic is. We can go into another mental health one, kind of dig in deeper, maybe get Tom on as well, because I know Tom would have a whole lot of insightful views and so on and so on. But
he's our philosopher.
He is our philosopher. But let's do this. I just want to end with, before everyone tells everyone where to find them, if you have issues, if it's day-to-day just, I'm stressed out, try working out. Try eating healthy. Try to make friends that's more in line with your life. If all your friends are married and you're divorced or single, try to find some single friends that can relate to your lifestyle. You don't have to get rid of your old friends, but try to find friends that you can talk to. If that doesn't work and it keeps getting worse, try a church if you need to, read the Bible, and if you need to, if it just isn't getting better and you need somebody to talk to, find a therapist. When, just like we said, don't become one of those people that's trying to call your therapist every day, because you're, as much as everyone wants to think the world revolves around them, it doesn't. Trust me, I remind my son of that quite often. So with that being said, is this was at, like we said, a broad spectrum of mental health. We'll dig into more topics and this and that, but figure out what works for you. Exercise, eat healthy. Those are always important to your mental health. get outside. Don't sit inside surrounded by a house full of cats like I do. I mean, I have a cat right there. But luckily, my kids are very much outdoor kids, so we don't go outside it. Quite a bit. But live your life. Try to find what's going to make you healthy and happy. With that being said, we'll be back. So what, Mr. Pancakes, where do you want people to find you?
Yeah, for sure. So the normal, pancakeswithyourdad.com. You know, got all the social medias, you know, Facebook, Instagram, X, True Social, and LinkedIn. Definitely go to our shop. We got all kinds of cool stuff. Cool mugs, world's flipping best dad. You know, got all kinds of cool mugs, t-shirts, hats, nonsense. That stuff, if you decide to purchase our stuff, it is awesome. I know plenty of people that got some Gary Plushay around to find out stickers. They're pretty awesome. Those are seem to be getting bought a couple times. That the money kind of helps us buy things and helps produce more here for you guys. The American Liberty Foundation, the nonprofit, still in works. Obviously, it takes a lot to build a nonprofit from scratch. The website will be up soon. All the social medias are still there, so you can definitely go there, comment, send me messages, whatever the case is. With that being said, again, mental health is definitely one of our leading problems with men today. If you are thinking of committing suicide, you know, please seek help. It's important. Like I said, I'm not anti seeking help. I just don't believe that if you have simple depression things that you should immediately go spend a bunch of money. I think if you're having serious problems and you're thinking of suicide, definitely seek out friends, definitely seek out mental health therapy. You know, one thing that helped me, as you all probably know throughout the years that we've been talking, I am probably literally the most anti-church and anti-Christian and anti-God Jesus type of person in the world. I have always hated that stuff. I've always hated religion. Well, now I'm a Christian and I believe in God, and I don't really go to church because I still don't like church, because I don't believe giving my money to some jack wagon to go buy a Mercedes is Christian and church related. But I do believe in God. I got a Bible right sitting right here, literally. You know, so if you're Christian, if you're not Christian, yeah, if you're Christian or you're not Christian, whatever, Christianity kind of helped me focus my life. And even if you're not Christian and you don't want to believe what's in the Bible, I do recommend reading it as a historical factor, because just the information in it is helpful, oddly. So with that being said, like I said, if you're thinking of suicide, please reach out. Please find help. I'll even help. Call me, whatever. Send me a message. I'll try and guide you as best I can.
We're all here to help where we can. Mm-hmm. Aaron, where do people find you?
So I'm no longer on X. The algorithm is getting kind of toxic, so I had to get off it. But I'm still on Instagram. Boy Dad Life 612, on YouTube, Boy Dad Life 612. I do a lot of videos on mental health, identifying issues, being a best single dad you could possibly be. If you're feeling down, find avenues, work out, find time to just be alone and breathe. If you're praying, if you believe in God, if you want to talk to God, just don't treat God like a genie, because he's not going to grant any wishes and he's not going to fix anything right away. So start by praying, be grateful for the things you are blessed with, and just ask for guidance moving forward. Good Bible chapters you can read is Proverbs. That's a good direction for men. And if you want a little wisdom, go into Ecclesiastes. They'll guide you well. If you're feeling suicidal, you can call 988. It's an easy number, 988, and they'll get you the help that you need. Just remember that you can't be replaced. Feelings go away. Feelings get better. Just your family needs you. Your friends need you. So keep the good fight going. And that's it.
Sounds good.
If you want to, you can message me on Instagram, and I'll answer back. Or if you have any video ideas that you want to hear about, comment on my videos on YouTube. Yeah.
Perfect.
And I want to say one more thing. For the love of God, don't go to pornography as you're out.
No.
For the love of God. It is. It's a real thing. That's a real thing.
Is it really?
Going to pornography to deal with depression, anxiety, and stuff like that is a real thing for a lot of men. For the love of God.
Go worse about yourself.
Yeah. Please, I promise. Don't go down that rabbit hole. It will only make things worse.
Yeah. So with all
things happen to good people.
They do. So we're going to dive into some topics more specific in the mental health field. And there's somebody that I'm thinking I'm going to reach out to have come on as well. But I personally need to see if he's available to get on for this topic. But I think he'd be great if we can do it. But with that being said, if you want a specific topic to be talked about, either message us, leave a message in the comments, tell us what you want us to cover. We're happy to talk about most things. And if you want to find more about Call with Dads, callwithdads.com. We have our audio podcast there, our YouTubes. We kind of cut off Rumble and a lot of other things. So that's the best place to find us is you can follow us on Instagram, X, Facebook. We post our reels there. But follow us here on YouTube. Follow us on the audio, and you'll be all set. You can hear what we have to say. With that being said, I'd like to say thank you for everybody for joining us, and goodbye.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys. God bless.